Theater Report. We're back, 89.5 FM CIUT. I think we're joined by Jacob Levovich, a staffer at the Steelworkers, and someone who participated, I believe, in the demonstration over the weekend. Are you there, Jacob?
Hi, Phil. Yes, yeah, I'm here.
Hey, thank you very much. Somebody deserves a lot of credit. Labor put in an appearance in an organized way. The spokespersons of various bodies participated in the demonstration that was apparently very large. You're the one who knows. First of all, what contingent were you with, and why were they there?
Yeah, it was a really big demonstration, and I was there with the Steelworkers Toronto Area Council. They represent 16,000 steelworkers across the GTA. And you know, up until the demonstration yesterday, a small but mighty group of steelworkers who are committed to trying to end the genocide that's happening in Palestine have been going to these demonstrations pretty regularly as a small group, waving our flags and noticing that we were one of the few union flags at the weekly demonstration. There, of course, was other organizing going on in other unions, particularly some of the public sector unions, education workers, OPSU, QP, for example. But they had their little contingents as well. And a group of us got together and reached out to some of the other affiliates to put forward a suggestion that we try and marshal our forces and have a workers or union contingent that would feed into the larger demonstration that was happening on Saturday at Yonge Dundas Square.
So, and you gathered at the Steelworker Complex or Hall or whatever on Cecil Street, and then marched over. And how were you received? What was going on there? How big was it?
So, yeah, we had about somewhere between 200 and 300 folks show up here at the Steelworker Hall at 1 o'clock, about an hour before the main demonstration. And we even rented a school bus to try and help some of the folks with mobility issues get down there because it's about a mile. We had a few speakers here representing elected folks from a few different unions, and I can go through that list too later if you want, because it was really interesting to hear some of these perspectives. But we got on the road about 1:30, marched down to the big demonstration at Yonge Dundas to meet them there. It was quite a remarkable scene. We were walking eastbound on Dundas Street, and as we approached Yonge Street, there was just a total wall of people, Palestinian flags, all kinds of different placards. The Palestinian youth movement, who are the main organizers of the rally, which we endorse and knew we were coming and we work with them, began a chant, "The Workers United Will Never Be Defeated," as we approached. And so it was
great.
Quite the moment. It was something I'll remember for a long time.
There's always an argument about numbers. I think the Toronto Star said it was, they estimated, was it 5,000 or so? Others say I think you're one of the people described to me how many blocks they were covering.
Yeah.
Just a straggle of people. This was filling the street. And I believe, there's been an estimate of 20,000. I should say, by the way, there was one in Montreal somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000. But go ahead. What was it like in terms of dimensions and numbers?
I was going to say, in terms of population, that means Montreal beat us. But, it was a good show from our point of view. I would say 20,000 is a fair number. If you go by the Star number of, they said 5,000 plus, but they get their numbers from the police, and the Palestinian youth movement put out the number 30,000. Sorry, I'm just getting some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based on drone footage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 20,000 is definitely a fair number.
By the way, I like you mentioned drones. I mean, now we're in this new era where people, you can actually fly over a demonstration, so there's no question about, was it in this neighborhood, that neighborhood, right, covering this many blocks and how many, you know. If somebody wanted to sit down and do it, they could definitely do the numbers, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So what were the, I understand that Fred Hahn was there.
Fred Hahn, yeah, was definitely there. He was a speaker from QP Ontario. Sorry, so I'm getting terrible feedback. I don't know if that's...
Oh, well, I'm looking at all the, everybody on our end is making faces, and they, as far as we know, we're okay. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine. Problem is, I hear me fine too.
Well, you're going to have to shout yourself down.
So
how did the crowd receive Fred Hahn? Because Fred Hahn has sort of become the name here, but Labor loves him, as far as I know.
Yeah, and I'll give a shout out to the organization Labor for Palestine. It seems like a coalition of activists from different unions that have been trying to coordinate efforts. And they put out the petition to support Fred Hahn after he was attacked by politicians and others. And they got almost 200,000 signatures in support of Fred. And I think that just shows broadly people want to support leaders that are willing to take a stand, especially as they see people silenced and really suppressed and repressed for taking a stand. So, yeah, he gave a great speech as usual. Lots of applause, and yeah, everybody's committed to standing beside Fred.
Yeah, and there was a representative of postal workers who addressed. Could you describe?
Yeah, that's
that?
Right. He's the leader of CUPW, Scarborough Local 602. His name is Leary Charles. Hadn't met him before, but he gave a great speech and talked again about the history of human rights and the labor movement and CUPW's support for many different issues. And then he really helpfully pointed out that it was the United Nations General Assembly in 1975 that passed a resolution that stated Zionism is racism. Mm-hmm. And he really helped to bring home the fact that an anti-racist approach to trade unionism has to incorporate support for the Palestinians. And
he knows well. His history. That's,
yeah, he sure does.
To be referring to a United Nations event of 1977, that was quite a remarkable thing. They later changed that, but I don't think the subject has gone away, because given what is happening in Gaza and the language of the Prime Minister of Israel talking as though he were speaking from the Bible about wiping people out, and then you had his defense minister say they're not humans, and that there's not going to be food, water, electricity. I could see somebody at the General Assembly of the United Nations say, "Could we go back and look at that resolution?" But so, what was the spirit of the crowd? Who else spoke on this matter?
The crowd was very excited about what one of the organizers called a quote, proof of concept, that as the labor movement, we can come together as different affiliates and start to help each other build within each other's locals and amongst activists and try and get the word to the rank and file. We know that we've got lots of support for our position. Amongst the membership, we just have, there's always a challenge to try and reach out to them and make sure they understand that there's activity that they can join, that there are folks that are you know, involved in organizing demonstrations, petitions, and such. Mm-hmm. So just to go through the list of those who endorsed both our free rally as well as the larger Palestinian Youth Movement rally. Mm-hmm. We had Toronto and York District Labor Council executive endorsed. Steelworkers, of course, Toronto. Labor for Palestine. Fred through QP Ontario. CUPW was there. We had speakers from OPSU. Healthcare workers for Palestine. Education workers for Palestine. And then and generally we had a few other groups in attendance as well.
By the way, it was independent Jewish voices there.
They were there, yes. Yep.
And they had a speaker?
They did have a speaker. I was dealing with the bus, so I didn't get to hear them. But I know
that's how big it was. I love demonstrations if somebody says, well, they spoke, but I was two blocks away, and it was...
Yeah.
Then you know it's been a big demonstration.
Yeah. I will say, Carolyn Egan from Steele gave a speech to the entire demonstration later when the march stopped at Bloor and Young after it began to march. She was one of the speakers, and she was really helpful in reminding folks about the labor movement's involvement in the anti-Vietnam War and how important Vietnamese resistance at the time, specifically she raised the Tet Offensive as an example of sending a message that a small group of people who want to oppose colonialism and oppose imperialism can win at the end of the day, even if they're not able to win specific battles. And that it really sent a message to the rest of the world that was in solidarity with the Vietnamese people that, you know, underdogs can prevail, and yeah, that international solidarity and support is mm-hmm, really important for us to express at this moment.
I gather, I haven't heard reports that any political party was represented. Do you know?
I did not see anyone there from any of the four major parties in Canada.
Uh-huh. And John Cartwright, former president of the District Labor Council, spoke.
Right. Again, John, a veteran of the labor movement who's now retired, but was president of Labor Council for many years, also reminded us about the battles from the anti-Vietnam War and labor's role in pushing the cause of peace forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's by the way, there's demonstrations today. I don't know if you are you up on where they're going on. I understand. In Montreal, I hear that the SAGEP, the community colleges of Quebec, are calling for a strike today. We'll see if that comes off. But, of course, today is the anniversary of the moment when all this political, first of all, the violence and then the political debate about how to resolve it was ignited. Are you aware of today's activities at all?
Yeah, there's a few. Again, there's so many different groups organizing, it's sometimes hard to tell who's sponsoring what.
Yeah, some is Lebanese, by the way. We forget, I mean, they're attacking a sovereign country.
Right.
And while the press wants to just live with the expression pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, that's their vocabulary is completely limited. But the people who are Lebanese have very immediate issues. Interest and position on these matters, and Lebanese are beginning to turn out, and they have their own specific issues with Israel.
That's right, yeah. We did see a lot of Lebanese flags on Saturday. In terms of stuff that's happening today in Toronto, there is the call for the national strike that's come out of Palestine. So there are those who are going to not attend work. I'm not sure how that's going to get... how widespread that will be in Toronto. There were banner drops this morning. There's a car rally. I think it's just taken place at 10:30. And then there is talk of high school students walking out here in the GTA. Again, we'll see how widespread that is.
But. People talk about having a conscience. Well, this is when you show it.
Yeah.
Jacob Relievich, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for all that information. A flicker of life in the labor movement. Go ahead.
I just want to do a plug. I did see a leaflet from the Palestinian Youth Movement, the main organizers. There is going to be another rally Sunday, October 20, at 4 p.m. at the U.S. Consulate. And this one is Hands Off the Middle East, very much linking Palestine and Lebanon, and calling for an arms embargo as well.
And who is that calling that?
That's the Palestinian Youth Movement.
Palestinian Youth Movement, October 20, U.S. Consulate, 1 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phil.
Okay. Peter, Jacob Leavitt, almost said Peter, our dear friend. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's CIUT, Taylor Report. What do you know? That's all these things are quite urgent.